You might like to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we look to you. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, our God, honor yourself. Amen. In the light of our little study last time on Wednesday, Sunday night, on worship, I want to take and help you understand that wonderful subject a little better. And in doing so, we'll have to do that tonight. But in between, on worship, staying on worship, in the light of the day in which we live. So, here we are, and if you were a bacteria, little bacteria, and you were a little bacteria and you existed, do you know that you would not care what anyone's doing down the street? The bacteria in you right now, billions and billions and billions of them, inside of you, do they care what's going on down the street? Are they even conscious of what's going on down the street? If I had a little bug down there, does a little bug care about what you're thinking or what you're doing? The little bug is oblivious to you. But you are very relevant to it because you're over it. The bug's just below it. The bacteria is inside of you. And so we look, and everything is relevant to something else. So here we are looking, if I can, at our human society, culture, country, background. And all people are doing what they're doing and whatever. Some are eating pasta and potatoes and depends what country you, district you live in, you know, and all of that, rice, all of these different things, all going on. And they are, for the most part, oblivious to what the governments are doing, what religions are doing. They're living in their little circle of life, and eating and drinking, coming and going. That's what they do. That's how we live. Oblivious to what's... But we're all under. And we have reached a point, historically, that we have never been at. So, in our country. Now, having said that little bit, then I want to address that from, I don't want to be a little ant or a bug. I want to get looking at the politics, religion, and history, the outworking of history. All of that's down here, but all of that is subject, all of this going on is subject to all of this. Everything is subject to all of this, including the little bug, is governed by all of this. Now, so in order to do that and refresh your mind and mine in the light of it, if you know, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created Bereshith, the beginning, and God created the heavens and the earth. God did that in the most wonderful way. And God being God, is glorious. God is wonderfully God. And all we got to do is think of the bacteria, the bugs, our body, history. All you got to do is think of any of that. And all of it is the snowflakes, all different. Every grain's of sand. Billions and billions of different kinds of viruses and everything, if I use that expression. All kinds of them, all kinds, working, doing. All of that is happening. All of that exists. God is really something to do that. For God to make one little bacteria to interact with thousands and all the other bacterias, the good guys and the bad guys. That's something to do that. God is awesome. He's glorious. I'm just trying to stir your mind a little bit. He's a glorious, glorious, glorious God. Now, having said that, in the beginning, God. Now, God, we know without turning all, we did all these things, and I don't want to take time for them. The wonderful time to take it, though, Isaiah 45 and all of that. That God said, I'm the only God and the only Savior. There is no other. Period. Big period. No more. Now, God, you're the only God, and you're a glorious God. You're going to give expression to your glorious self. Uh-huh. Now, God, so you're going to create. What you're going to do? You, the Creator, are going to create creation, etc. Now, all of it is history. I'm now moving where we are. History is outworking itself. Creation is outworking itself. Where's it going? What's it all about? The bug, the bacteria, nations rising and falling. What's it all about? 1 Corinthians 15. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect man. And he, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. It's all about God glorifying himself. And God has a wonderful plan, and we've shared all of these things so that it's just a repetition somewhat. And God, you know, God has made all of these things, and angels have choice, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, so in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read, our Lord Jesus Christ, his whole purpose, the Lamb of God slain before anything is ever created, the Son of God, verse 27, for he hath put all things, God the Father hath put all things under his, Christ the feet. But when he saith all things are put unto him, it is manifest, clear, public, plain, that he is accepted. Christ is God. That's right. God the Father, God the Son. He is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, that's his whole wonderful ministry of going to the cross, then shall the Son also himself be subject in his perfect humanity unto him, unto God, that put all things under him. Now, God, what was the whole purpose? To glorify yourself. Nothing else. God, you are wonderful. And creation is to give an expression, is to appreciation, to show, like a painting shows the artist, the living humans, angels that honor God, show God the Creator. And therefore, God, the end of verse 28, that God may be all in all. When it's all done, God starts, God finishes. It's all about God. You want to know the little bug down there in the ground? It's all about God. The bacteria in your system, it's all about God. You want answers? You're going to have to go to the source. All creation is to come back and reflect his marvelous person. Worship. Worship. worship, the appreciation of creation for the Creator, God. Worship. Now, that's all right. Now we're trying to address where we are in the light of that. What else do we know about the big picture way up there, over our head, as it were? So God, based on all of that, God, what have you done? You created Lucifer, son of the morning, the angel fell, and we did all about angels and all of these things. And Lucifer was given a choice, and Lucifer was the top angel. If you were going to look at God in the middle of eternity, and you were an angel, and looked, and when you looked to God there, right up in the head, in the centerpiece of forever, in the middle of God, is Lucifer. Glorious. We've shared all those things, Ezekiel 28 and all of that. Glorious. And he reflected as no other God. And so as you would look to God and see his, like a this special, the way God makes a kangaroo different than an elephant, God made Lucifer different, awesome, wonderful. So us angels, we aren't like that. No, we're just simple angels. But boy, when we look to God and see what God has done, God has given us angels an understanding of our uniqueness by looking at Lucifer and his uniqueness. And we see his uniqueness, his awesome picture, who he is. And what did he do? He had choice, the same as we did. And he chose to try to claim he is perfect in beauty. He tried to claim his wonderful beauty, his existence. It was his own. Pride. No. It was God that made him beautiful. It was the glory of God that made him beautiful. So what happened? Israel did what? Israel did what in the light of Lucifer, ultimately? Lucifer did what? Lucifer went, dear friends, and went and sinned. And he wanted to worship God. That's what he wanted to do. To worship God. No. You would think that would be true. But that wasn't what he wanted to do. That's what he was supposed to do. He went and wanted the worship of God. The angels are all looking and giving God the glory for his existence and for their existence. And Lucifer wanted all of that attention not to go past him to God. They wanted it to come back to him. And he wanted to be worshiped like the Son of God. That's what he wanted. Worship. And, hang on, you know all these things, but I got to move. I'll never make it. You understand? Worship. So, God, you're the Creator, and you are rightly entitled to worship. Worship. Now, over to 2 Thessalonians. If I can, in chapter 2. And would you please note, we're looking at Lucifer. I'm going to march right through history, time, all of the things that you hope you understand or can ultimately understand if you want to. Lucifer, what have you done? All through history, to cut out the seed of the woman. That's what we got to cut out. You can't worship God. And I'm going to get to that in a second. Now, Lucifer, son of the morning, Satan, the devil, what are you after? Worship. What are we supposed to all be created for, including angels? To worship God. To acknowledge him and enjoy him as the one who is worthy worship, worthy of honor, worthy of value. He's God. Little G-O-D, that's a word that you couldn't put in 10,000 volumes. So, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4, as you know, about him, the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called, all that is called, God, or that is worshipped, so that as God, he as God sitteth on the in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I want you to note the little phrase in there, God, and then, or that is worshipped, or so that he is God, all that is worshipped. No worship anywhere. Religions up to your eyeballs. And people worship Buddha and all different things. They do. That's no problem. None of them are real. Not even Allah. And God and the devil knows that. So when push comes to shove, and you want to get to the God of your Buddha, there is none there except one, Satan himself, who allowed it to exist. Now, what's Satan want? All of those religions must go down, and they will, Revelation 17. And who's going to be worshipped? The devil. And nothing and no one else. That's the battle. Do you understand? What's the battle? God says, all of it is mine. And the devil opposing says, I want what you want, God. And I'm going to claim it by claiming the humans. I'm going to get them to reject you and worship me. That's what I'm going to do. And if you got that, you'll understand all of history and where it's going. You need that. If you don't have that, then you're looking at your little world like this, or whether the pizza shop's going to stay open or not, whether you can keep your job or not. That's what you're going to be looking at. No. It's a whole nother thing that's governing what's happening now on earth. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, God's going to be glorified, and the Lord Jesus Christ is God's wonderful, wonderful answer. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God, what are you going to do? Well, I don't want to go that fast. God, you've created humans. Why did you create humans? Humans are less than angels. What are you illustrating to Lucifer and all the angels, good guys and bad guys? You're illustrating what? You're illustrating that you want to be worshipped and not the devil, not Lucifer. You're making it clear. Now, so there's a debate going on out there, allowed to be happening out there in God's eternal timelessness out there. Now, God, so what are you going to do? I'm going to go and show you. Now, was it in the plan? Uh-huh. Because before anyone was ever created, anything was ever created, the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the earth. So God, you had a plan. The Son of Man would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, so why did you create humans then? Because they are created in their image and likeness. What does that mean? We've shared all those things. Image and likeness means like the mirror. You look in the mirror and you see yourself. God wants to look at humans and see himself. God wants to look at you and me and find himself. That's how we glorify him. Glorify him. Like the flowers, glorify him. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's us humans, and us humans are there to honor God. That's the purpose. Now the devil comes along in God's wonderful allowance, because he has the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, nothing's created. And when Adam and Eve are created, he's going to say in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God has made a wonderful promise, back before anything was ever created, God made a wonderful promise that the seed of the woman, Christ, would be born of the Virgin Mary, die on the Calvary's cross, and save, to put it all together. That's right. Wow. Okay. So here we are looking as humans, and we're to reflect God. So the devil comes along and gets Adam and Eve to sin, and Adam and Eve sinned, and what did they do? Well, they lost the relationship, didn't they? And they had to get saved, and they did. Adam and Eve got saved just like that. No question. They didn't mess around. They knew they were guilty. And so therefore, God proved his point. And here comes the whole point, because the seed of the woman has to be born. And Cain leads to what? Cain leads to the Genesis 6, the great Noah's day, the days of Noah and the 120 years, and Noah walked with God, and God flooded the earth, and just Noah and his family saved. What were they all doing? They weren't worshiping God. They did evil continually, and they kept going. So here's all of that happening. Now God has a plan, a wonderful, 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 wonderful plan. And God's going to work it out. He has to work it out. Why does everything keep moving like it does? Because God made a commitment to himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Lamb of God, Christ would die on the cross. Everything, history has to evolve to make that happen. He has to be crucified and glorified, and history has to finish so that humans have no excuse. If you just leave us alone, God, that's called the tribulation. Back off, God. Don't do anything. And you got the tribulation. And God said, God, if you just made every, get rid of the tribulation, get rid of the devil, our deceiver. Oh, God said, okay. And so where does God put him for 1,000 years? In the pit? For what? To show what? 1,000 years where there is no bad guys. There are no bad guys. No bad guys. Just God and the kingdom. And you'll live 1,000 years if you behave yourself. Wow. And you rebel as the sand of the sea when I let him loose. Your heart was never changed. That's what I am demonstrating. The human heart has to yield to who I am and believe me. And unbelief is unacceptable. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please me. It's impossible without faith. But I'm good, and I did good things. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. And you read it. Many will say, Lord, didn't we do this? God said, I never knew you. You were religious up to your eyeballs, and you memorized the Bible, and you did whatever, and handed out 4,000 tracts. All that's good, but doesn't save you. I wanted you to honor me. Worship, worship, worship who I am. Appreciate that I created you. and saved you. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if we can, God has a wonderful plan, and he allows all of these things to take place. And Satan is allowed to be the what? God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler. You know all those in Corinthians and Ephesians. And his driving desire, Satan's driving desire, not only, how does Satan show his desire? He got a hold of Cain. Sin was a, God warned Cain, sin's like an animal ready to jump on you if you don't pay attention, and sin's lying at your door like a great beast. And what's it going to do? It's going to get you to go and slit your brother's throat, Abel. You're going to kill him. I warned you, if you don't catch it, it's your, that nature, that evil nature. The devil has never quit. He tried to, Herod, the Lord Jesus is born in Bethlehem, Judea. And what did, the devil's busy trying to do what? Herod, everyone 2 years in anger, kill him. And they did. Kill every baby that's 2 years or under in Bethlehem. That's what they did. And they tried to kill him all the way. They crucified him. We have no king but Caesar. Wow. All the way down the road. So God, what do you want? What do I know about the devil? What do you know about the devil? Because here's the battlefield up here. All of up here is moved. You have to move this activity up here, down here, where the bug is. Because that's what's happening. And we've reached, anyway, I've got to keep going. In the process, God has gone. And Satan's awesome desire and drive, he is persistent. He is consistent in his pursuit to fulfill what? Remember Babel, Genesis 11, going back? And what was the whole point of, you can't produce Cain, you can't reproduce Genesis chapter 6. No, that finished. But now you're going to have, after the flood, you're going to have politics and religion. And politics and religion are going to be up front. All the nations are what? Political, religious. The tower and city in Genesis 11. All of them. What's it for? Babel. Where's Babel going? Babel is a whole world system made up of nations, so you couldn't be together as one. Babel is divided. They didn't want to be scattered, but they were scattered. Now they've got all these nations out here. But they're all the same. Religious, politics. Where's the worship of God? Where do we find it? Now, so in the light of that, God, he isn't quitting. And we've reached a point where he has so advanced, so moved. He's moving the system. If I go back, you don't have to turn there. You aren't turning anywhere, I guess. Daniel chapter 2, 31. Think of all the outline of history. Israel's taken off the top. Israel's at the top nation, God's nation. Nebuchadnezzar takes it down. Nebuchadnezzar goes up. Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, etc., Rome. History, secular history, terrible history, outworking itself. Where's it going to go? To the feet of iron and clay, to the 10 toes of the image of man in Daniel chapter 2. Where are we? We're looking at what? We are the feet of iron and clay, the nations. Religious and political nations, here they all are, like this, and they're the feet. out of them is going to come 10. 10 toes. Wow. Now God, and the system is hell-bent, hell-bound to pursue it. And that's where it's going to end up, in hell. But it doesn't matter. Over to Revelation chapter 9. You would think our system would wake up, but it isn't waking up. And in Revelation chapter 9, moving through into the tribulation, I want to know what's different about worship when I get into the tribulation. What's going to happen to worship? Okay? Revelation chapter 9, as you know, going directly, if I can, to verse 20. 9 and 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship. What were they doing? Worshipping demons, idols of gold and silver, brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, drugs, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They aren't changing anything. System, change. No, the devil wants worship. And so in the tribulation, the church is gone, the believers are gone, rapture, and it's let loose. That's where we are. Let loose. Who's going to stop it? Where's the saltiness anywhere? Where's the light to come help us in the dark? The light's gone. Saltiness is gone. All gone. Oh, it doesn't mean there aren't saved people and God isn't doing what he's doing. It just means, as we have known history, at that point, the history is bankrupt of such things. So now, as we go, they repented not. What's he want? Well, you're here. You already know it. Revelation 13. And the devil wants what? Worship. See, it isn't about anybody. It isn't about anything. Do you know, here we are, I don't want to be ahead of myself, in voting, you're going to vote. Here's the Democratic platform, Republican platform. Do you read those things? Does anyone read them? Did anyone ever read the Communist Manifesto? And if you go and look at communism, Stalin and all of them, what happened to the manifesto? It's immaterial. And you can kill millions, underline, people. And he did. The Democrat, this is no more about Democrats or Republicans. Do you understand that? I hope, I hate to think of people's thoughts. Is anyone, the media won't let you think. Our life doesn't let us think. John F. Kennedy, in the 60s, he is a Democrat. He would reject the Democratic Party. He would reject this platform. Understand? This is communism. The platform of 10, the big 110 pages of agenda, manifesto by the candidates. That's communist. Democrats and Republicans, there are no more Democrats. The old-fashioned Democrat? Never. They are communist. The system is communist. social communism. Socialism is a step towards communism. Do you understand that? It has nothing to do with our republic. And that's what we've got. That's what we're up against. We're up against that straight out. And how it's going to go, God knows. And I'm way off because help you very much. But I want you to understand at least the powers, the problem up here that's making this is the battle between good and evil, God and the devil, worship. And the devil wants worship. And that's where we're headed, dear friends. Straight outright. Communism has no place for God. Godless. Evolutionary. Humans are cattle. We're sheep being led to the slaughter. I shared it the other day a little bit. We have not done a thing. We have let it go from the 50s, 1950s, with communism. I remember back then with all of the stuff in Congress, and I have all of that stuff back there. Wow. We never fixed anything. We just let it sort of evolve. We never fixed the educational system, never fixed the political system, never fixed the money. We didn't fix anything. We just sort of let it, the sexual system, male, female, who are you? What are you? How do you think this ever evolved? It didn't evolve now. You've got things you're supposed to be. If you want to be a tomato, why not? Right? Where do you think that came from? We let it go, we let it go, we let it go, we let it go. And it's on top of us at the moment. It isn't even we aren't talking about anything. We're talking about a reality. We aren't talking about a meteor out here, out there with a spaceship going to land. We're talking about what's going to happen in our country in just a few hours. And whether God's going to give us grace for a little longer. Otherwise, dear friends, and that's all we'd get. Because the Satan and the system, the virus has opened the door for such a movement. And they aren't going to slow down. They're already telling you it. I don't need to name I don't need to name the people. They're notable people. They're right up in the highest up. And they say, keep it going, no matter what. They don't intend to stop. And I don't blame them. That's all they have for their hope and their future is power, fear, think of the virus, fear, control, conformity, contentment. People live in communist, other kinds of countries, and they're quite content. They don't have all the jars of peanut butter to pick from, and they don't have it, but hey, we have it, and we're able to see whatever, and do whatever, and have whatever. It's never going to be what it was. We can't go anywhere, we don't own anything, whatever, all of that. But you adjust to it. You become content. We've become quite content. That's what our world is. That's the trouble. And we got a little remnant of believers trying to be a light in the darkness. And it's not so easy, to say the least. Now, having said that, I'm trying to help you understand. I know you don't. Not you guys, of course. You don't understand how critical this is, because we don't know. We don't know what's happening. We don't read history. We don't follow the pages. The pages are being turned just like this. And they don't stop. The calendar doesn't stop them. The clock doesn't stop them. And the devil wants to get there. The devil wants this to happen. Why? Once we go down, we're the country, aren't we? The major example to the world, countries, nations. That's what our country's all upset about, the bad guy, the bad people, or people like that. What are they out there? Well, you can't. Our country isn't bad. We're evil people. No, we aren't. God took us nobodies and saved us. And God gave us a declaration and constitution, which is like no other republic. There's no other nation of all the hundreds of 200 plus nations or whatever. There's no nation on earth that's like this. That has what? A constitution and a declaration sitting on the Bible. Sitting on top of the Bible. No nation has it. And we've got to be removed. Do you understand? We have got to be removed. Why? Because in God's program, Daniel chapter 2, where's it has to be? The beast, the Antichrist, doesn't come out of the United States. He comes out of Europe. Europe is where the 10 toes are, the 10 kingdoms. That's where it has to be. That's why we have got to be put on the shelf. And the minute this happens, if not too shortly, or if we have a grace of 2 or 3 or 4 years, maybe. But then it's going to happen. So don't be, it's going to happen. We've got to go down and become submissive to the European social communist system. We have to be. In order for biblical history to work, God is going to do what he's going to do. It is God's plan to allow the Antichrist to rise up, isn't it? How are you going to stop that? You don't. You don't want to stop it. All we're looking for, I titled it a little bit, like in Nehemiah, God, would you be gracious to us and grant us a little grace and mercy and favor in the light of our little trouble? And you can just think of Nehemiah doing that. Nehemiah, I'm looking. We're going to go into that. We're going to Malachi and 400 years of nothing. God, we're just trying to hang in here a little bit, trying to hang in there. Nehemiah said, God, you know where we are. We got a temple that we don't even honor very well and has no glory, no walk, no God. We know where we are, God. God, would you just give us a little more space? And that's what we're asking for, I think. Because I have to finish the food in my refrigerator. Understand? But God may not give that. And it may happen. And I want, and you want, God's will to be outworked. That's what I want you to see. Don't look at it down here with the kangaroo and the bug. Look at it from up here. The battlefield. And the devil has to get his way. God said, I'll make it happen. And when I do, you're going to lead the whole world in unbelief to worship you. And I'm going to judge them all. And then I'm going to judge you. Because God is all in all. There's only one God. And Lucifer, son of the morning, I've let this whole thing work out. For what reason? What? That the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world would glorify God's triune, awesome person. he would be crucified and risen and seated at the right hand of God. He would then reign over planet Earth and bring it, 1 Corinthians 15, all into subjection. And then he would present it all to the Father. And the Father with what? What's it mean? Everything is God-centered, God-honoring everything. And when that happens, what happens? Then God, new heavens and a new earth? Uh-huh. And then what? What's the centerpiece? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, in God the Son, and God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost, and he is the light and life of the whole world. Wow. God glorifies himself. He wanted, that was the whole point. He created, and he makes creation what? Centered in whom? Himself. Where is he? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Where are we? In him. We're in him. Where are we in this whole thing? Well, God, that's where we're going to be. But God, you have to let it all work. And we pray to that end. Thus. And we aren't going to get rid of the virus and all of that. The virus. Forget the virus. I think if we forget the virus will just get tired because no one cares. The virus doesn't care. The virus will just say, I quit. They're not interested in me. No, I'm not interested in the virus. I'm interested in God's will and what he's letting happen and where it's going. And that makes the virus nothing. Nothing at all. And you're worried about getting the flu. You may get the flu. And you may get a cold. And you may get anything. You may get the mumps, the measles. I got a big sign still from, I saved it, never got rid of it. Scarlet fever. Do you remember that? We used to have to put it on our house when we had scarlet fever. I had scarlet fever. And my sister, we both had it at the same time. And we had the state city came by, tacked on the door, scarlet fever in this house. And that's what they did. So what you do is put in your door, virus CV1936, whatever it is, and you put that on your door, little sign, and people just keep going, you know, it disappears. And your life would be so much simpler. I'm telling you what we're doing. We've lost the huge thing that's happening in the light of a virus, in the light of fear. And all of it is making us very vulnerable. We who are invincible in Christ Jesus are most vulnerable. So therefore, over in Revelation, if I can, I did it the other day in so many ways. And just to remind you of the sequence. The church history. Here we are. It's our time. We're coming at the end of church history. So chapter Revelation 2 and verse 4, the Ephesus. I'm not going to have a lot of information. Just follow the words. Chapter 2, verse 4, Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They lost the love. It wasn't that they weren't obedient and keeping everything in order. They lost the relationship to enjoy the relationship of being saved. And that's what dear people need to have. We've been trying to say it since March and forever. Over to chapter 3. History goes along, and you know it. Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen, make firm, establish, fix, fasten. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are what? They're ready to die. For I have found thy works I have not found thy works perfect before God. And what is the church? Well, the wonderful church is a church in the power of Acts chapter 2, keeps going downhill, and the church loses, Reformation, it lost, you try to recover, but when you try to recover, it's lost again. And you strengthen the things, but when you try to hang on to them, they're going to die. It doesn't mean you don't try, and they keep going. And then you come to Philadelphia, chapter 3, and verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. There's your little word again, strength. You only have a little strength, power this time, dynamite, power. Little strength. Thou hast kept my word. Thou hast not denied my name. And we're trying to hang in, God. We don't have a lot of strength. No, you don't. And then you pick up where we are, traveling down history. And then you come to chapter 3, as you know, in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. God said, you're in a terrible condition. That's the church. That's where we are. And God, we're looking for your grace to help us through. That's all we're doing. We don't call the shots. We're just little guys. Trying to do a little bit to think right. God, are you happy when anyone thinks right? I am. You know, there was a woman once, went in, I watched him, said the Lord. A woman went in, a poor woman, and she gave her little 2 cents worth into the treasury. And you know, who can see what she put in? God did. And she put in, and God was over there, and God said, listen, do you see that little woman over there? See all these rich people? See all these everybody's? No. The widow woman, she gave all that she had to me. God, can you spot us? Absolutely. Why can't we get a big group like the violence and the peace marchers and the peace promoters or whatever they are up and down the streets? There are thousands. No, you don't. Not anymore. No, you're just going to have a you, a little old you. And I see you. And I know your name. The end of Malachi, the Old Testament. And I'll remember all you, God-fearers, when I come. But God, we're nothing. Nothing. Just sit, we're nothing. That's right. Nothing. But God, that isn't for you. Now God, over in Psalm 111, we didn't do much. I'm sorry I didn't get very far. And I'm just trying to help you. Not very good. You got to see the big picture. If you just look at it locally, you'll miss it. The powers that be are running this thing. And God's over it all. So God... Our God, our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, my Father, your Father if you're saved, my Father, he's in charge. He's in charge from here, in your heart. In the assembly, he's in charge. And therefore, we stand there. In headquarters, the table is set. The generals are there. Everyone's around. The table's set up for the battlefield. There it is. The ships, the land, the forces are all there. And they have to be moved. And what are we doing? We're there, part of the movement. It's our turn in history. We're part of the movement. And God, we're looking. We don't fight you, God. Move. Whatever you want. Whatever you want to do, God. That's what we want. And we move on that board. And God, you're doing it. Uh-huh, I am, said God. Wow. Psalm 11. Picking up, please. I can't even read it. Think of David. David, I wish I was going to start with that. I didn't. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness. Okay. Now, David, you did it. Now, David, in the light of this thought, as we're thinking about it, they told David, here's King Saul trying to kill him and all of that. Psalm 11, verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And they would tell him, David, you got to run. You got to run and escape. They're trying to kill you. They're trying to kill you. See? David said, where do you want me to run to? I'm not a bird. I can fly away. I'm here. We're here. Where are we going to run? Where do you want to hide? You don't want to. There's nowhere to hide. Nowhere to run. No. No. Therefore. Verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, if the whole thing falls, then it's going to. If not, I hope it gives us a little space. But maybe not. Verse 4, what are you going to say? The Lord is in his holy temple. Which temple you are? Aren't you? Aren't you his body if you're saved? Aren't you his temple? And if he's in the heart, is he not Lord of lords and King of kings? Isn't he the boss? His throne is forever set in heaven. That's right. And from that throne, he operates. And where is he? On the battlefield. We're on the battlefield. Here he is. Working it out. Wow. What a wonderful thing. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth, etc., etc. Verse 7. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. God, here we are. That's all I can say, dear friends. All I can say. God, here we are. Even so, come. It's a wonderful thing. I wish I could have did it for you better. I'm just trying to get understand. It's a time, it's like a political time like none other. I don't think it'll ever happen again. I think it'll just outwork itself. But it's momentous because we have a choice to try to hold it. Well, I don't like him. Listen, if the doctor is the best doctor to go operate on your heart, and here's the doctor over here, no offense, doctor, over here, and this doctor is the nicest guy. He has the nicest political things. And he's very loving and balanced and caring. Now, who are you going to pick to do your heart? Well, I love him. Good, he'll bury you. Got it? He's a dear man. No offense, because he's the one representing us. And that's what he is. He's a winner. He's a businessman. He builds and money, make things. He isn't a politician. That's what he does. That's what you need. We don't have anyone up there to play politics And the vision, you need somebody to, for somebody somewhere, please stop the regulations. Fix the dumb country's problems. Someone address the wall. Someone do something. And for once, somebody did something. How do you replace that? I gotta quit. Forgive me. I owe you a couple of minutes. We'll pray. Our Father and God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. God, thank you. Your wonderful will. God, you said it, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. You told us that. And then you continue to tell us to outwork or finish out your wonderful will, and that you are not tarrying, you are not waiting, you're going to come wonderfully on time for us, and the things that are to happen and how that are to happen, God, must happen. But may they happen in your time and in your mercy and in your grace. God, here we are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.